You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link, do
that'll
something.
Do, that'll perfect. Do, that'll do.
Let's go.
Yes.
We back.
We are back. We are here. We are live on Twitch. Another Prem show. It's been too long, Alexis Guerreros.
Isn't it nuts that the only time we're ever in the same room is when we're in Europe? We are back in the States. We can't be ours, as they say in England.
when we're home, I don't want to see this man near
no.
me. Okay,
get him away from me.
The restraining order I had filed specifically says internet only. Okay.
what a wonderful, first of all, if you don't know, right? Go ahead. This is the part you say.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest football show right here on Twitch.
That's right. We've changed.
Okay. We're different gentlemen, okay?
We're also the gulliest, but now that means alleyway.
Every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/soccercooligans or eltwitche.com. We are here with the Twitcheteros, the gulliest chat that there is. Join us every single week, except the prior 2 weeks that we were in Europe traveling.
Every single week. We've never missed one except the last 2 weeks. But it was just too difficult because we were traveling. We were everywhere. We went to see Messi's debut in Paris.
Yes.
And then we went to a party in London.
As they say.
Oh, I did go see Partey. Thank you so much for the follow, Robert. From LA.
That was a gifted sub from Board Martin. Thank you so much for the love so far. Keep that hype train going. We need
it. Let's go.
So the
let's run down what we did. All right, we saw Messi's debut in Paris. Mm-hmm. You and I hung out in Paris. Then we went to London. You saw Everton versus QPR in the Carabao Cup. Then you and I both went to go see Arsenal versus AFC Wimbledon in the Emirates suite. Emirates for AFC for the Carabao Cup. Then I went to the North London Derby, and then I was the first American on Arsenal Fan TV. Let's go.
Were you the first?
Yes. Yeah. So
hold on.
I didn't say this to you. Cecil jumped on the Complex show because Flex couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of special guest hosts come in for a few minutes. Cecil was on, and he said, the only other American that had ever been on was when they did the international fan cam during the preseason tournament.
Whoa.
But regular season and in England, I'm the first.
Yes. This is.
Isn't that crazy? And it was during the North London Derby, which is like a huge deal.
Dude, this is like getting called to the table from Johnny Carson.
Right? A reference all of you are going to get.
If that needs any context, when Johnny Carson used to host The Tonight Show and the comedians would perform all the time, but
someone else booked the comics. There's a booker. So Johnny Carson was so famous at that time, he didn't know who was going to be on. He was sat back and he watched the comic along with everyone else.
Exactly. So a comedian would go on The Tonight Show, they would perform. And then if he liked you, after you were done with your set, he would call you over to the desk so you can have a short, like, 3-4 minute conversation. But he didn't do this with every comedian. So everybody always wanted, well, hopefully Johnny Carson will call me to the table. That's how I know I'd have a good set. A lot of comedians have talked about this. But, yeah, this is huge. So, yes, Alexis, you can see it right there. Alexis was on AFTV.
Terrible picture of me.
Look, it says best day of my life. And then the second, my wife is watching, meaning, you know, there was a great joke about how this was the best day of your life, the North London Derby, and not your wedding day or whatever. But by the way,
they talked a lot about Alexis Sanchez. For me to be the number one Alexis video on Arsenal Fan TV says a lot.
But no, if you haven't seen it, please check it out. I don't know if we should. We're not going to play it on air, but yeah, a really really cool thing for Alexis. Definitely for the Cooligans, you know, getting a shout out there as well. But this was a big deal. I mean, when Alexis, you know, was called me and he's like, "Yo, I did it. It went well." Yeah. Also, if you look at the comments of that video.
It's crazy. They actually like me. I thought I was going to get cooked.
It's pretty surreal. I mean, the internet being kind is already crazy. But then the internet being kind to Alexis Guerrero, what?
What? When no. They have every right to be mean. I'm an American. It's the North London Derby. It's the hardest. It's the most significant, you know, match of the season, really.
Yeah.
And here I am just waltzing into their thing.
Look at the first comment. It says, "This guy brings a different vibe. Give him a free room somewhere in London and make him a regular."
What? Crazy.
What is this? I'm already concerned. What is this room going to smell like? How large is this room? What is going on in this room?
Oh, my God. First of all, I better approve of this room before I'm giving it. Let's just start there. But it's just one of those things where, like, I still don't really believe. Like, the comments are the what they are. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm just... They did something so I can only see the good ones.
I love... Board Martin said, "Alexis's burner account's doing work."
Yo, I had to get a couple thousand burner accounts. But look, they said, "This guy brings a different energy. Get this guy room somewhere." 144 people liked it. No one disliked it.
Is this the internet in 2021? This is
ew.
There must be some mistake, okay?
Or maybe this is just some level of high-level sarcasm, and they're roasting me, and I just don't get it.
Serene191 said, "It's actually nice to watch happy fans, to be honest. We all love the drama, too, but this is actually cute to see." They called you cute, buddy.
Bruh, I'm getting cute. Well, I mean, in England, I'm a 9. So, hey, thank you for the cheer, Colo Blanco.
And Colo Blanco said, "Alexis is a bruv now." Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was walking around like, "Nah, blood."
But no, this is a... And in general...
Thank you. Oh, my God. Die. Thank you so much for hitting that subscribe button.
And in general, this is kind of what we were...
Hold on. Bay Area Guna said, "Y'all from New York, they probably thought you were strapped." I'm doing the interview just holding a gun in the air. I'm like, "No, I thought Arsenal played well. What y'all got to say about that, though?"
Okay. They don't call us the Gunners for no reason. What are you talking about?
It's on the sign. I thought I was allowed to bring this. I'm rooting on the boys.
it was an interesting thing, you know, our experience there, because the rabid, and we'll start with Arsenal, because the rabid Arsenal support is, my experience, the way I experienced it, well, Huzzah, thank you for the sub.
Well, Huzzah. You got I don't even want to call it a culture shock. I think you got the shock of all shocks Wednesday. So to let people in behind the curtain, they had said that I could be on Arsenal Fan TV. They found out that we were going to be at the match on Wednesday. So they said, "Hey, why don't you swing by and see Robbie? Robbie's going to be there."
Yeah.
The famous Robbie. And you and I tried.
We really did. We know who he is. We've met him before. We'll go say what's up. Literally, Arsenal wins 3-0 against Wimbledon, and we're in the suite. We'll talk about the suite in a little bit, but we leave the stadium, walk out of the Emirates. Everybody's excited about the
big
win.
We go to where we were told the video was going to shoot, so we were there kind of early.
Yes, and we it was by the what statue?
The Dennis Bergkamp statue.
Dennis Bergkamp. We go to the Dennis Bergkamp statue. We're waiting around a little bit. Nobody's really there, and then
there's just people kind of milling about.
Yeah,
it looked like there was a lot of people that didn't get into the match that were kind of waiting outside.
Right,
and there were people that were leaving the match at the same time.
So then we see like crowds building up, and we're thinking, "Oh, that's where Austin Fan TV is or whatever." But it wasn't. It was Robbie wasn't there. They're filming, right. Robbie wasn't there. So
for those of you who don't know, Christian lives inside a kitchen of a restaurant. That's why you're hearing the ice machine.
Sorry. Okay, look, this is...
We have to say it. I mean, you can't just have like an ice machine go off in the background and not talk about it.
It's look, the ice machine is a character on this show.
Uh-huh. So Paolo in Minnesota said, "No one tell Alexis they don't show dislikes. You couldn't let me have it."
So we're waiting around. We see a couple small groups. We realize it's not Robbie, some of the other people that are on Arsenal Fan TV. Then
they're getting mobbed, though.
Yeah, yeah. So there might be like 60, 70 people in this circle. You see it on TV. You can't really tell how many people, or you see it on YouTube. You can't really see how many people are really there in that massive like group when they're filming. But it's a lot. And then Robbie comes out. Robbie comes out of the Emirates, and we don't even see him. We know he's there because, I mean, it must have been 300 people running, flocking to Robbie.
What is it? You see what Crimson Pizza put? What
Crimson Pizza said, huh? Helene is making him a pago and oat milk smoothie.
Oh, no. God, I hope that's not true, just for Christian's sake.
So we're
not embellishing in any way, shape, or form. 300 is a safe estimate for the amount of people who immediately surrounded and went nuts on Robbie.
Yeah, it was insane. I've never seen, and again, not exaggerating, people were more in nuts and insane and just like it was like boy band going nuts more than the players. The players came out too. And I didn't see that same energy than it was with AFTV and Robbie, bro.
People were like, yo, Aubameyang, did you know Robbie's here?
Like, what? You met this guy? This guy is unreal. I mean, the guy is CZ3631 said, why were they rubbing his head, though? I agree. That was going too far.
Dude, I think we talked about this before, but they were like kids. Like, it was like a group. It was like a cartoon, just like a group of people, like, shaking, going nuts, chanting, we love you, Robbie. We do. We love you, Robbie. We do. And they were, like, kids, like, walking out of it, like, holding on to, like, cell phones, like, I guess FaceTiming with people going, like, I touched Robbie. And, like, you could hear the person on the other line going, like, go back so I can see. Like, it's just crazy. It's pandemonium.
Yeah, yeah.
So we finally make our way. I mean, this went on for maybe 45 minutes. And then we finally make our way to Robbie as he starts walking with, he doesn't have security, but he's got a couple, you know, as they call roadmen with him. He's got a couple goons with him.
The homies.
That kind of cleared the way for him using very big elbows. So finally, I make my way to Robbie and let him know, like, hey, man, it's me, Alexa. And he was like, oh, yeah. He goes, dude, this is too crazy. I don't think we're going to do it today. He's like, but you're around for the next match. And I said, yeah. He goes, just come for that. So as we're walking, we kind of walk like two blocks with him in order to have this conversation. And then I see Chipmunk, the rapper.
Right.
And I said to Chris, I'm like, oh my God, yo, that's Chip, the famous rapper. And he was like, what? And I walk up to him, I go, yo, you Chip? And he goes, sometimes, which is the greatest answer I've ever heard. If someone ever asked me, like, yo, are you Alexis? I'll be like, sometimes, even though I'm Alexis all the time. We kind of talked for like 2 seconds, me and Chip. I'm like, yo, I heard your album the first time because of Peter Rosenberg and all that. And we had like this dope conversation. I look over at Christian. I'm like, yo, did you get a picture? He's like, no, why? I'm like, it's a famous rapper. And Christian's like, I don't know. I don't know who this guy is.
I've been waiting for this. Can we get a poll here? Who here knows who Chip is? That's it.
Can you pull up, just Google Chip rapper?
We use Bing out here, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
My bad. We the Bing boys, baby. Ain't nothing gonna change about that. How many times we go to Europe? We Bing boys. Yo, Bing Chip.
Okay, so I'm binging Chip. Okay.
Okay.
AKA Jamal Noel.
Don't be saying his government.
The internet knows it. What do you?
Yo, go to his Instagram or his YouTube, whichever one you want.
Okay. Where am I going to find that? All right.
If you go up, you'll see his Instagram. Go up and to the right. You'll see his Instagram. See his Instagram right there?
Okay. So let's see what Chip is all around. Hashtag Marissa. What's up, Marissa?
Half a million followers, and the man don't even post.
One post.
Half a million followers.
This is clearly a fake account, this official Chip.
What I'm trying to tell you is the guy's famous.
Yeah.
He's one of the best rappers in the UK. And Christian was like, I don't know.
I respect his talent. I get it. But in that moment, I had no idea who he was. I don't listen to his music. Respectfully, I'm sure.
That's fair.
He got bars. Not saying anything negative about it.
I'm letting you know now, if we're ever somewhere and you run into Residente, I will purposely throw both our phones against the ground. I want you to know that.
All you gotta do is say, "Yo, that's Chip. yo, can you take a photo? Can you film this? Happy to do it. Nah. Oh, let me go see Chip. I'm like, okay, what is Chip? Is it a cookie? Is it a biscuit? I don't know what. It's different out in. So I was not aware. And Alexis was
well.
Very...
So far, No is winning 4-2 against. Do you know who Chip? Well, I guess y'all don't really listen to English hip hop here. Five to two.
Alexis was so frustrated with me that I didn't capture this.
Just look, take a picture. If I freak out about somebody, I would know enough to take a picture.
All right. Well, you live and you learn.
Nonetheless, no one's ever going to believe I met Chip.
So,
that goes to show the level of fame this man has.
So,
no one gave a fuck Chip was there.
That's the main thing. Everybody was focused on Robbie. Chip was there, has a lot of followers, a very good rapper. Nobody could care. They saw Robbie there. I've just for a person to really just do a vlog about a team, and for it to capture like the hearts and minds of so many Arsenal fans is really incredible. It's something that I think is not super clear to Americans. Like, one, how I guess we know that the sport is very popular, but this is something absolutely unprecedented, where it simply, they wouldn't do this for a journalist, like,
right,
you know what I mean, or even maybe even a former player. Would they even do this if Ian Wright was walking out? Would you think they would do the same
thing? Yeah,
so?
I mean, if Henry was there,
okay,
same.
But that's
the level that he's at.
Right, right.
He's on par with legends. If Andre Arshavin walked out.
Or Shamak. Obviously, Shamak.
Just the line of dudes waiting to give him a hand job. You know? If Shamak walked out, people would be like, hey, shouts to you, Shamak.
Yeah.
If Robbie walked out behind him, they'd be like, get out of the way, Shamak.
Well, and it's really to the point where, I mean, you saw in that video on Twitter, I mean,
can't hear you. Yeah, I was like, I can't hear you now.
People are like, obviously touch him on the head. Like, Robbie needs security. Like, that, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is too famous. He needs to be. We need to protect Robbie at all costs. You know, that's really what it felt like.
Poorly drawn Arsenal said, I'd 100% mob Arshavin. I have a lot of questions, mostly sweater based. but I think when you're, and I think Robbie explained it, this is like culturally maybe a little bit difficult for us to understand. The Carabao Cup matches don't get you don't get season tickets for those. The same way you do for Premier League matches.
Right.
So you get a chance to buy those tickets if you're a season ticket holder. But this allows the average fan a chance to watch the team play. So the guys that are here are people that typically aren't at the matches. So they're bombarding him because this is also their only real chance to ever see him. This is part of their Arsenal going experience, which was, for us, insane. And at the same time, we had just had lots of wine and steak. You know, we were in a very relaxed mood,
which is how every Arsenal fan consumes an Arsenal match.
Which was that the match where Thierry was wearing his own vintage Arsenal jersey? No, that was the North London derby where he was with Daniel Ek, who supposedly may buy the team, which was a wildly disrespectful. But do you? By the way, we went to two matches with Henry.
Oh, that's right.
He was at the Messi debut as well.
Yes.
I mean, okay. He goes at a different level than we do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We would have seen him at the Emirates Suite. My favorite part of the Emirates Suite was we're sitting there drinking wine. They're bringing us wine and steak and fish and cured meats, the whole nine.
The poll ended 11 no's to 3 yeses of do you know who Chip is? Okay.
Well, so a lot of you lied to save Christian's feelings, and I think that's very, very sweet of you. So we're sitting there, we're just drinking wine, you know, like holding a glass, nice glass, and we're holding them by the stem, drinking vino or whatever. And then they just lower the shades. And we were like, what's happening? And somebody goes like, whoa, We wouldn't want other people to see us drinking wine.
Which was such a funny, like, yeah, you know, the peasants tend to get a little riled up when they see the level of wealth and luxury some of the people up here are experiencing.
I'm not saying we're hiding it from them. I'm just saying there's no need to throw it in their face. And that's kind of the tone they took, which we have to keep reiterating, regardless of how much money Christian and I will ever have, we are the folks that should be shielded away from the people drinking the red wine.
100%. We did not belong in there. No. It was an absolute, just a gift, a privilege. But man, it was, it's weird because my first time at the Emirates is at this suite. I mean, it really, yeah, I can't go back. Am I going to just sit in a regular seat the next time I go? I don't know about all that.
I mean, I have to bring my own shade for when I drink wine.
I'm just going to be like those wealthy women that just wear the black veil in front of them. I can't have them just look at me too directly.
I mean, I can see them, but they really shouldn't be able to see me.
But yeah, this was right here. This was the little IG story that we made. This is us in that tweet.
This is the balcony of it.
This is crazy, guys.
And I mean, can see the seats, by the way. They're plush leather seats, and they're heated.
Right. And to the right of us is the Adidas suite.
It's the Adidas suite.
The Adidas suite. Okay. And they were looking at us like, man, how do I get there? You know what I mean?
Meanwhile, we're all looking in like, what y'all got in there? This is Christian and I.
Man, it's, look, the last 2 weeks have been nuts in general. And some people may have seen or not seen. We did surprise everybody. We did not tell people we were going to Paris and London. And
you weren't on board with right away.
I would have been on board with it if you would have said a month prior, like, hey, this is what I want to do, not 3-4 days prior of us leaving.
We're supposed to surprise people, so I surprised you by saying, don't fucking say anything.
that's how the production meetings go.
A scrambling text.
We're literally like partners in Cooligans, and he's like, I'm going to keep this close to the vest. Right? Yo.
Oh, what a surprise this is going to be when I tell Christian last minute what my entire plan is. But I did think it would be fun to surprise everyone by being both in Paris and then in London. And the reaction was just out of this world.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, it was,
Colo Blanco said those Paris and London reveal videos were great. And I got to give Christian credit for the secure the baguette.
Yes.
Great. What a great button for that whole video.
Yeah. I mean, it's teamwork out here. We're doing it. London, the Arsenal matches were great. If anybody has any questions about the whole experience, feel free to put them in the chat. Shelly Ray just said, was that the match? Oh, yeah, we were talking about Henri. So I also went to the Everton QPR match, the Carabao Cup match.
Which, can we talk about how well this whole trip worked out, that even Everton was in London?
I wasn't even initially planning to go to London, and we're just going to go to Paris and then head back. The reason I was away last week was because I was in Arizona for a wedding, so I was away. It was a lot of travel. But I did it all. So we ended up going to London.
So you were just going to go Paris, then come back.
Right.
I was going to go Paris, London, come back.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you might as well come to London, man. I was like, I was already like messaging people, and we were going to like, I'm going to get food with this guy. I'm going to get drinks with this person. I'm, you know, already talking with the Arsenal Fan TV people. I was like, dude, this might be fun. And Christian was like, all right, I'll go for a little bit. And then immediately we realized Everton's in town, and it was just perfect. It was kismet.
So they were playing QPR, Loftus Road, the Kayan Prince Stadium, right? So I go to the game. Obviously, my first Everton match in England. The first time I saw them was just a couple months ago at the Florida Cup, where they won a trophy. So I was initially very, very
spoiled.
Did
they keep that momentum going with you there?
They lost in penalties to QPR. I mean, QPR got two proper goals, just headers, and just poor marking, and who knows why. You know, it wasn't the A squad per se, but they should be QPR, and they did not. But look, the experience was pretty incredible. I got shouts to the Twitter handle Chicago Evertonians. Who's this guy Tony, who runs it? He's from Liverpool. He lives in Chicago, and he connected me. I was able to get a ticket in a heartbeat. Like Everton supporters have been so unbelievably kind to me. It's made me have that deeper connection to the club. Just meeting so many people.
I think it's important to say, when we were going around London meeting people, they would say
Crimson Pizza just said Christian sat in the Everton luxury box, which is just a decommissioned bus bench from Liverpool.
It's a homeless dude opening a box of wine and then covers you with this jacket.
Oh, thank you, good sir.
Thank you. The service here is exceptional. The smell is, I could go without it. Thank you, Justin Freeberg. It's that pizza guy and that dude who eats a burrito like a harmonica.
That's what we're known for.
All right. You know what? I'm fine with that description if you want to write our bios.
Dario Gouda just said, of course they treated Christian well. He's their most famous fan.
By the way, you got to see how, when we were in Florida, how they reacted. So this is what I was saying. So people in London were like, oh, who are you? And I'd be like, oh, I'm Arsenal. And he's ever, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, even like United fans or whoever, they were like, oh, Arsenal, that's cool. How did that come about? And I'm like, oh, when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. I tell them the story. And they're like, who are you? And he'd be like, I'm Everton. And they go, why?
Literally.
Why?
Everybody in London was like, what? Why? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Was there some sort of miscommunication through
it one of those wheels on a cruise boat?
There must have been something that happened from the delivery of information through the transatlantic cable that really lost. Something got lost in translation.
Oh, maybe you weren't aware, but you don't have to do that.
It was like getting insulting at some point. I met one Everton fan in London where was he from? He was Irish, maybe?
I don't remember.
The Rex Squad guys, when we were hanging out.
He's Irish.
He was Irish, right? Okay, cool. Yeah. So maybe the Seamus Coleman connection. There was only one, and I'm like, you're my homie for life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your name again? And the guy bought his beer. It was so cool. He was at the comedy show. And you met up with us after the Everton match.
Right.
It was what a wild night. It was a great time. But I can't stress enough how people react to when they find out you could pick any team in the world, and you went with Everton. And then the reaction of Everton fans when they do meet you, it's like, what? You on TV and you get to, and you like us?
Yeah. Dude,
you're going to mention us in a positive way?
I love Bay Raguna just said, it's like if you ask a foreigner and they say they're Jets fans.
Yo, could you imagine? Imagine you meet a guy in London, which, by the way, Sam Tai from the Ranks FC podcast.
Yeah.
He said, I decided randomly to pick an NFL team, and he went on an NFL team generator. Like there was a website for English fans when they were marketing it heavy. Pick your team, and it picked him the Detroit Lions.
Oh,
I was like, dog, you stay up till 3 a.m. to watch the Detroit Lions. And he's like, yeah, that's the way I reacted, and the way he responded was like, yeah, that's the way Christian has to react to everybody. No one understands why.
Yeah, because it's like when you hear Everton in the United States, it's like Tim Howard and Landon Donovan, and it's just like, it's just spoken about with a little bit more optimism.
But at least used to be when you picked.
Right, but when you are in England, it is that English depression and pessimism and sadness that they all embrace. It is you through thick and thin. But seeing it up close was something different. But I'll now talk about the experience of going to the actual game. The actual game was I got there a little bit late. just because we were taping the interview with Richie Ledesma. So I got there maybe seven or eight minutes after the match started. When I get in, the guy holding my, he was waiting for me outside. Super nice guy, saving my ticket. This guy, John, incredible. We go in and I'm walking into the away stand and I'm like, yo, this is, I'm like, I was getting a little bit emotional. I'm like, I hear everybody's cheering everything. And I get to my seat. I'm in the front, on the second level on the front row. And I'm with like a bunch of like older guys. The guy who got me the ticket, he might have been in his 50s.
Yeah, ain't nobody young picking Everton.
But it felt like an uncle is bringing you and you're hanging out with all his friends and it's all older guys. Like the older guys, they were like, I ain't standing. I don't stand anymore. I haven't done that in 20 years. And they're just happy. When Everton does something well, they're angry when they mess up or they give up a goal, but it's all coming from a loving place and loving the club, and they were easily, I want to say 5,000 Everton supporters at QPR, bro. It was there were points where you couldn't really tell who was the home team. That's how energetic it really was.
Board Martin said British reactions are like, Everton, is this a skit? Am I on TV? And which we call Barry, you're gonna say, keep that energy when DCL signs for Arsenal. Let's go, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you go to you.
So yeah, I mean, they ended up losing in penalties, which was obviously brutal. They couldn't stop any of them, but it was a dope. Even after the loss, I had posted a photo saying, you know, my first Everton game in England, and every Everton fan said the same thing. They're like, it's not too late. Don't do this to yourself. You know, some people are like, you know, congrats on witnessing your first loss, how it should be. You know what I mean? Like,
I was going to say, it is kind of poetic for an Everton fan to see a loss, you know? You can't just keep seeing trophies get won.
Yeah, if they would have won the game, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Doesn't feel authentic.
Justin Freeberg said, they're the old dudes that Santi runs into in the bar before his first Newcastle training. You know?
But, you know, even though they lost, but and it was disappointing, I just felt like it was definitely a tournament Everton should have gotten farther in. They're playing so well in the Premier League that it really was especially after the draw to Manchester United, I'm like, man, that loss to QPR looks even worse, man. There's no excuse for giving up those goals, but
you should be able to beat teams in the Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, they played well though. QPR was, and the one thing I noticed that QPR has a, I assume this guy is Mexican. There was a Mexican fan who had a big blue and white sombrero, and he had what are the things that you spin that go? Krr, krr, krr.
They used to give them out for New Year's.
Yeah, what is that called? Somebody in the chat. But he was swinging.
I think it's
that.
Just a noisemaker.
And the fan, they loved him. He was like the capo, and there's no like capo stand, but he was doing that, and he was getting, as soon as he went and started making the noises, the other side of the stadium would be like, yeah, they're like losing their minds. They were so into it. The whole experience was, even though they lost, it was really, really fun, man. I'm glad, you know, a lot of love from Everton fans, and then shout out to Toffee TV. I got this hoodie. Literally, the guy who got me the ticket, John, he was like, you want it? And he's like, I'm like, yeah, why not? And I just, he just gave it to me. He just gave me the shirt off his back. Good old blue collar folks out in Liverpool showing love. You love to see it. No, so thank
that
you.
That Latino just stole my jacket. As soon as he hands it to you.
The person's going to be like, what's a Latino?
Poor Mark said Christian robbed him. Yo, give me the tickets. Give me the jacket. Where you at? I like that jacket.
Yo, support the club. You all right? You love the club.
You,
all
right. You want me to talk about this trash-ass team on TV? Robert from LA said, Christian, did you notice the stewards in the neon jackets guiding you to the away section only?
Yes. I mean, I didn't go in with the same group, but they did keep us, kind of do the same thing. They kept us, in the stadium for a little bit longer, and then we left or whatever. But, also after the game, obviously the QPR fans are really happy. So they scored their I forgot who missed it. It might have been Davies. He misses the penalty, and they think that they won. Keeper saves it. They think they won. A guy runs onto the pitch, and then a steward has to run after him. And the dude is pretty fast. So, and this is funnier also because this wasn't on TV. Nobody could watch these games for some reason. Like whatever the rules are in England, and we that's a whole other episode. But the guy runs on. The game's not over. Stewards have to get him and take him off the pitch. And then when they finally do win, so many people rush onto the pitch. I mean, it's like a college football game. So then I'm looking at the stewards. Bro, what is it? The stewards are like 14 years old. I'm serious. It is teenagers that are the stewards at these matches. I'm like, what is this expectation? Some of these are adult men that are obviously idiots.
You think this 16-year-old is going to tackle a 48-year-old with a mortgage who's drunk?
Yeah, I'm looking at the line. All the stewards are like kneeling, waiting, you know, security doing. I'm like, what are you going to do? And there's so many of them. There's so many. I mean, I get that it's honest work. It's a respectable job, but this can't be the pool exclusively of who we're picking up to keep right. us safe.
This can't be your last line of defense. It can't be a bunch of teenagers.
It was like a lot of like black teens with great haircuts. I'm like, yo, you shouldn't be in this line of work, bro. You should be out, you know, eating candy.
Influencing.
not yet for you, man.
Justin Freeberg said, Latino, is that a new topic for Chips? Probably a Liverpoolian.
Or Liverpudlian, as the
Liverpudlian.
Yeah, yeah.
Christian saw Stewart and was like, yo, give me your jacket. Too. He has the steward jacket on the next episode. I also was given this, and the dude was very emotional. He was crying when he gave it to me.
I'm like, yo, stop crying. This is very, very, very
stop
touching.
Stop being a bitch.
So, shouts to everybody out there, man. So, so fun. And then, obviously, we still haven't talked about Paris, but real quick, how was or take as long as you need, the North London Derby. What was your experience with that, Alexis?
I mean, I can't even explain to you, you know, having watched it on TV hundreds, and you know,
the Q20 just said, security teams are greater than the Gold Cup stretcher girls.
if we're going to have a bracket, you're right.
That's hilarious.
Whatchamacallit? I mean, I've watched North London Derbies, you know, going back more than half my life at this point. It was wild. Like, I remember it being hard to get into pubs for these matches. You know what I mean? Yeah. I remember how, like, you had to prepare, and I had to make friends with, like, the people who run Arsenal NYC just to get into the pubs for these matches. That's how significant they are here to be able to go to the game. And I want to give a shout out to Arsenal Chaps group chats, the group chat that I'm in, that I got invited into. It's straight up just a bunch of black dudes from London and me. And now actually we just added a Turkish guy. So it's just like an American out of nowhere. And those dudes were like, I was like, hey man, I think I'm coming out to London and I'm going to try to make it this day. And I'm going to go to the North London Derby and whatchamacallit. It's out of nowhere. They were like, yo, we're going. We'll get you tickets. Yada, yada, yada. You just saw the dude right there in the hat, the white dude in the hat that was next to me. That's the homie right there, Isaac. That's the homie. He's the one who invited me in. He's known me since I was just talking Arsenal on Twitter in like 2013. He's from, obviously from London, came out to the US, and he was like a big fan of mine, and he was like, yo, this dude's really funny, we should invite him into the group chat. But they hooked it up. The other dude on the other side of me, just a straight up English guy, that guy, he heard me, and I was like, yo, Aubameyang, make that run. And I said that, and he kind of was like, he goes, your accent's funny. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm from New York, my bad. He's like, what are you doing here? And he kind of said it like, who let you in? Because I don't know if you know, it's like impossible to get tickets for Arsenal matches. You have to be
Tyson Pickle is asking, what is your girlfriend doing in the background, Christian? She is on the exercise bike. Yeah. You can kind of see her.
You'll see like feet and people walking by every once in a while. So yeah, he immediately, I think he was a little perturbed. Like, how'd you get in here? Mm. You know, like, this is a tough ticket to get. That was the energy he had. And I was like, oh, yeah, man.
Show me your papers.
Yeah, you know? Basically. And I was like, yeah, man, it took me a while to get this ticket, man. I was like, I know the guy. He's out of town. So I was able to buy his ticket, which I don't know if that's true or not. That's just my way of getting out of it. And he was like, yeah. He goes, what are you doing here? You're on holiday? And I go, nah, man, I flew in just for this game. And he was like, oh, yeah. And that changed everything. He put his arm around me. He took videos. It was like it diffused a pretty. It could have been an uncomfortable situation.
What?
But yo, it could have been wild. But yo, it was one of the greatest nights of my life. Just getting to be there, watching them smash Tottenham 3-1. Getting to be there for, and I predicted 3-1. I thought Tottenham would score first, and we would score three in the second half, which has kind of been what we've been doing. But it was absolutely insane. It was one of the greatest. And then to follow that up with getting to be on Arsenal Fan TV for the North London Derby. Yeah. For the first time, as the first American, and having it go well, pinch me, dude, and I'll punch you in the face for pinching me. this was insane. I mean, to me, I as a comic, the Tonight Show or an HBO special, whatever, this is that for Arsenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how significant this was. So shouts to Robbie, shouts to Turkish, shouts to Cecil, shouts to Josh. The homie Josh, who you met.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Shouts to everybody, and shouts to Flex for helping set that up. Shouts for everybody who helped me set that up. It was just an absolute dream come true, man. Insane. And a great match in total. Please. I can't wait to go back. That's all I got to say. Yeah, shouts to everybody we hung out with, too. I know we just saw a picture of Ellie Menjum, yeah, who we hung out with out there. That was after the actual... The Carabao Cup match. Mm-hmm. We went and hung out with him.
Luke Sergio said, does Alexis look happier in that photo than his wedding photo? We may never know.
Maybe, maybe not. my half-brother found my wedding photo, and my haircut's crazy. And he put like, oh, no. And I was like, that will never make it on the internet. I was like, please.
This is also, we went to Classic Football Shirts, the store in London. Shouts to them. They showed us so much love. We were talking to some of the employees there. Awesome.
Yeah, they took our picture for social media, as you can see here, which was really cool of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great experience in London, man. So fun. Everybody was, the fact that we got to do that and like literally just from... doing stuff like this, doing this show, being on Twitch, the Cooligans podcast, Prem show, all that stuff. Like it's given us the opportunity to do a lot of really, really incredible things. So we are always trying to show gratitude to everybody who, all the people that are here, everybody who listens to this podcast. It truly, truly means the world. And I'm hoping that, you not only appreciate all the stories you have to tell about it, but we also, we filmed a ton of stuff that we will be getting out to you, real soon. The Paris stuff, the London stuff, we're going to do something big with all that footage. So please be on the lookout for that stuff.
You guys to see it.
Yeah, if you want to get ahead of where it will be, there'll be some of that content will live on our channel, the Cooligans YouTube channel. So please follow us, youtube.com/soccercooligans. So do that.
We're going to try to make that a bigger focus. So as you can see, we only have 3,300 subscribers. We're going to try to make that a bigger focus of our approach in the coming months and years. So hit that follow button. Help us out. Or hit that subscribe button. Help us out.
Okay.
Please tell me Alexis did like a baguette or a croissant review in Paris. Oh, we did.
Oh,
I made Christian eat a baguette. I made him eat a croissant. And I made him eat a jambon beurre, which is their bacon, egg, and cheese. Yeah. It's just straight up a baguette with butter and ham. Yeah. Straight up.
You're going to want to see that because that's pretty ridiculous. I don't even know.
What Christian said made like birds fly. It made cars stop. It's really,
I don't know what they allow food. You know, what's allowed to be legal as food in France is pretty ridiculous.
If you did this in Iowa, it would kill people. But because I guess in Paris, they smoke cigarettes. They're fine.
Okay, let's talk about Paris and getting to see Lionel Messi play his first match.
This was really the basis of the whole trip. You know, Christian was like, yo, let's do something big. And I was like, yeah, you know, all right, let's call your bluff. Let's go see Messi's debut. And Christian's like, all right, I'll look up flights. What are you? And I was like, wait, what? Where are we going?
So PSG against Lyon. We went to this match. We got to see Messi play his first home game at Parc des Princes. And really just, going to France, getting to the stadium. We did film some stuff. It was an interesting experience because, you know,
it was both of our first times in Paris.
Right. And obviously I'd never been to a game there. I didn't realize this. PSG has some pretty intense support. They are legit.
They're ultras. Serious.
Not only are there ultras, but there is a lot of them. I mean, if it almost feels a little bit like going to a game like a Boca River, like
Galatasaray.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just that level of energy where you're like, oh, this is like Christian had wanted to do some man on the street stuff. The first area we went to happened to be where all the ultras were just like casually hanging out. And Christian was like, should we do man on the street? I'm like, do you notice how everyone's staring at us?
And everybody's wearing black. Nobody's wearing PSG colors. No. Literally.
Their shirts say ultras on them.
Which is also like adorable. Right?
Yeah.
we've been to a couple games in Germany and they have very big supporter sections, like where it's clearly like, 10,000, 12,000 people.
Right.
But here it's like 10, 12,000, everybody's wearing black and nobody's wearing
also,
the team colors.
Angry.
And yeah, there's a level of intensity that I just didn't really expect from PSG. You know, you watch the games on like beIN Sport, you don't really kind of see it. And where you feel a little bit like I might be in a little bit of danger. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And there was no better example than when one Lyon fan managed to get through that security area, which by the way is like, it's like a block and a half outside the stadium. It's like the barricades that they've set up.
Yeah.
So you show them your vaccination card or your QR code. You show them your ticket, and then they allow you in. So I don't know how this Lyon fan managed to get in, but he was very quickly met by a couple of hundred ultras. And I don't think that they were very kindly just letting him know he wasn't welcome. And they were running from area like the parking lot. They were running from like behind trees. It was like cartoons, like. We didn't see half these people. They happened to be there. It was wild.
There were so many police. Riot gear police. After the game, like a couple fights broke out. They created.
We found out from Ellie that if the other fans don't fight them, they'll fight themselves, which is insane.
Yeah, we couldn't tell exactly, who were the contestants in this.
Everyone's
in this
wearing black. I mean, you're just punching people at that point.
But we're standing outside the stadium. We're waiting for to meet up with a friend, and they created a perimeter by us, like literally a wall. It must have been about 60 officers.
But at one point, they were just the officers were just kind of hanging out. And then without like a whistle or an announcement or like a j'aime plein, you know, there was nothing said.
No.
They just all kind of started in sync, marching along a wall. And at one point, Christian and I were on the shield side of that wall. And I said to Christian, like, well, this feels like the wrong side to be on.
They're going
to
think we want to have any, you know, interaction with that shield. And we do not.
Yeah. Oh, we don't want to meet the shield, nor do we want to be associated with the people that you're trying to put on this side of the shield. So we quickly ran around that line to get behind them.
Yeah. So
I remember that one kid there was like a young guy who was like dressed nicely. He tried to go through that wall of police to get to the other side because he wanted to go home. He had to get to the train, and they stopped him and they said, no, go back. So he went and stood by us and we were like, we don't know you. Get away from us.
So, look out. We have a bunch of stuff that we filmed. It's going to be super fun. But the game
Tyson Pico, by the way, said, did you know that it's illegal to walk around Paris without a baguette? You can get a ticket, which seems like that's real, by the way. Everyone had a baguette, like the cartoonish baguette under the arm as they're smoking a cigarette.
Well, we went to get baguettes, and it was like a line, like a long line. Like people.
But
are
we also
to
went
get...
on Sunday to like the only boulangerie that was open. You know what I mean?
It's like they're waiting out for sneakers, bro.
Yeah,
like,
it was crazy.
Of,
Also, the Q20 said percentage males to females. She said she's been to a Ligue 1, or he said they've been to a Ligue 1 match years ago, and it was like 90% male. I would say that's probably close to what this was.
Yeah, it felt like it. It didn't feel like there were no women there, but there wasn't. Honestly, it wasn't even like a thought. I think maybe, you know, we did meet a lot of foreigners that were there, also there to see Messi as well.
Remember sitting next to us? There were those two Americans.
Yeah.
And this guy had a selfie stick, and he would just yell during the match when we were sitting really close. We were like third row. Every time Messi would have the ball on the right-hand side, he would be near us. So this guy had this massive selfie stick, and he'd be like, Messi! Messi! And his wife would be like, Messi! Look over here, Messi! Yeah. And we're like, everyone's like mad at this guy. It very clearly, American doesn't know anything about soccer.
Imagine that guy was at that Arsenal match sitting next to that dude. I mean,
bro.
It would have beat him with that selfie stick.
Yo, that selfie stick. We stick it out of his ass. So I kind of said to him, she asked the question. She goes, I'm shocked there's not more Lyon fans here. You would imagine it's such a big game that it would be half and half. And I kind of leaned over and I said, I don't know if you noticed, all the Lyon fans have to stay in a certain section because they'd be murdered if they were anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Or they would murder someone if they were. And like, what? And then they go, the guy goes, is Lyon like a really popular team? Because there is a lot of people here. And I was like, this is Messi's debut. I go, Messi hadn't started yet at home. And he goes, what? I didn't know that. I just got tickets because I heard Messi was playing.
It was pretty.
And I'm
ridiculous.
Like, all right, now I see why you put the pressure on the Americans when you see them. You know what I mean?
Right. But obviously, we got to see obviously Messi play. This was the game that he got subbed off in like the 75th minute.
Portman said, "Which one is Messi?" I'm just pointing at Mbappe. That's him right there. Yell all you want.
This was the game he got subbed off in the 75th minute. So, part of me, I'm like, we flew all the way here to see this dude. Why are you taking him off? It was like genuinely infuriating.
If Messi comes off, then he's got to come sit next to us.
Yeah, Messi had a pretty decent game. He had a free kick that he hit the crossbar. But getting to see Messi, Mbappe, Neymar, like honestly, I had forgotten Mbappe and Neymar were there. Like I was like, we're gonna go see Messi. We're talking about Messi all over and over. And I'm like, yo, there's a couple other pretty big names on this team.
Oh wow, there's other notables here. It was so funny. Like at one point, like I think it was like Verratti or something or Marquinhos, and I'm like, oh yeah.
I see a couple of these guys in the World Cup, I think. Hazard said saying I thought he'd be taller. This is so great. I'm sure some people have seen Messi play in person. It was my first time. Had you ever seen him play in person?
Same. No, okay. I had tickets. Remember, I was supposed to go to that Argentina versus Brazil at Meadowlands, and that was the day that I was still doing production. And they call me and they're like, hey, are you almost here? And I was like, almost where? And they're like, oh, yeah, you're filming the interview with James Franco. And I was like, come on, man.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I still hold a grudge against James Franco.
I'm just another person he's crossed. It's incredible watching him play in person. I mean, you get that he's good. You see it on TV. We were just doing the highlights at the top of the show. But seeing it in person, you see how massively skilled and technical he is. Like just getting out of, there's no situation he can't get out of. Players are terrified to like make a move. And it's so fascinating because I think we talked about this a couple months ago about how Messi doesn't do stepovers. I don't know if
he doesn't need it.
He doesn't need it. He's just so incredibly gifted and knows how to like properly feint in any direction. And you really, it looks like it shouldn't be that hard to defend against him. But when you see it in person, you're like, wow, and he's like older, you know, even it doesn't matter if it's a younger player who's like really fast. That's not going to make a difference. He's just so, he knows exactly where to put the ball and put himself where you just really can't reach him. And he didn't have the best game ever in that game. I don't think he should have been subbed out, but he did take like a little bit of a knock. But and then, you know, so we're like in awe of Messi, but then Mbappe to do what he does at the speed that, and that's really, you know, we're comfortable. We're used to watching games in the United States. We're watching, you know, usually like MLS, and we catch stuff on TV. And so we get the speed of the game in person, and you see the quality. But when you see it in especially a team like PSG, when
just everyone's doing FIFA shit.
It is
all of them.
Just every pass is complete pinpoint. The speed of the game is just notably faster. And then the level of the passing, especially the diagonal balls. That
even Shaqiri, remember Shaqiri hit like two incredible diagonal passes for Lyon, and I looked at you and I'm like, oh, he's trying to get signed by PSG. Like, you know what I mean,
the diagonal balls just and they were just so accurate, and that was the main thing where I was like, oh, this is the difference in quality, especially from the American game to what's going on in Europe. They're like, we just do not see passes like that.
But also, they just don't make mistakes.
That's another thing. They're just few and far between. And then Neymar's there too.
Yeah, another, which you didn't even talk about. Could you imagine going to a game where Neymar's playing and you don't even have to bring him up?
Neymar scored the penalty in this game. Lyon scored first. Paqueta, I believe, scored.
Yeah, Paqueta.
It's Paqueta, not Paqueta.
How do you know?
Because he has the accent mark on his name.
Does
anyway,
he?
He does, and that's how it's pronounced. Anyway,
so Paqueta scored first.
So and then the game ends in the 92nd minute with a goal across from Mbappe. Verratti in the game gets a header, scores the game-winning goal.
No, it was Icardi, I think.
Icardi.
Yeah, that's right, Icardi.
Icardi scores.
So an Argentinian scored at least. Mm-hmm. That we can all be proud of.
And this is the game we get to go to.
And that's the beginning of our trip.
Right, right.
Baguettes, croissants, and that.
Bord Martin said, I saw Messi play twice in 2013. Paolo said, I saw him play in Camp Nou.
Glenster asked, how loud was it? It was. We were just to the left of the, what I guess we'll call the supporter section. Where the ultras sit, and it was intense. In fact, the American next to me, Lyon scores, and the supporters just keep singing. In fact, they sing louder to root for their boys. And he goes, are those Lyon fans or PSG fans? And I said, no, those are the PSG fans. And he goes, oh, but why are they rooting? Why are they celebrating the goal that Lyon scored? And I go, no, they're not celebrating the goal. They're chanting. They're singing their team on. I go, they do this for all 90 minutes. And he goes, oh, wow, that's crazy. And I go, you know, it's also like that in some parts of the U.S. I was like, you know, we've been to games in Atlanta where it's like that. And he's like this in the U.S.? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh, wow. I go, you could have saved yourself a lot of money going to Atlanta.
Bro, we got such a long way to go to just like inform the American audience of like the, just simply
these
what's
are the people
going
to the games. Never mind.
I mean, you're spending so much money just to go to this game. There's a lot going on in American soccer that you could invest your time and money in. We can.
Bord Martin said, guy next to Alexis, why is there only one person on the orange team?
We've
got so far to go.
We have so far to go. That experience there was really, really incredible. And again, look out for a lot of the videos that are coming out from that. But
Jorge said Austin FC supporters do that as well, which, by the way, shouts to Austin FC. They're getting so much credit for their atmosphere, their support.
Yeah.
Shouts to them.
Yeah. I got to go to the first game, the first home match at the new stadium. And also, actually, look out on, we should be confirming this very soon, but on Thursday, we're going to be doing an Instagram live with Austin FC to kind of just preview the U.S. men's national team match against Jamaica. So follow us on Instagram at Soccer Cooligans. So that should be a fun thing.
Sports Card Direct said, let's also appreciate that we've come a long way too in the U.S. That is true. Look, we're doing this, right? And we've got a lot of Americans in the chat. Mm-hmm. But Paolo, Minnesota said, who's on the halftime show?
Is Beyonce here? Seems like a big game.
Yeah. She should be.
So yeah, I'll so much else to cover. You know, and before we end the show, we've been going on for a little bit, but let's do a little. Let's just look at the Premier League table at the very least, and maybe some of the results from the past couple. Maybe this weekend.
I think the last time we were on, Arsenal was in last place. Tottenham were in first.
Uh-huh. Things have changed a little bit.
Shifted a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So as we're seeing on the screen, Chelsea's in first. They just won against. Who did they win against? I don't remember who they just won against.
Oh, we should know this.
Doesn't matter. But look, Chelsea's in first. Liverpool second. Manchester City is in third. Manchester United are in fourth. Everton tied for that third place.
The Europa.
14 points, but Everton against Manchester United, a big point. And you know, after the loss, it was a bad loss to Aston Villa. Everton are you know, they were in first place after four matches last season.
And it was Southampton, by the way. Chelsea beat Southampton 3-1.
Okay. But Everton, I'm a little bit more confident about this season than last season, even though I started with a lot of confidence. Andros Townsend has been a player that I think has revitalized his career. He spent a lot of time at Crystal Palace and you know, just kind
of... Tottenham before that?
Yeah, he was a average player, so to speak. And he's already, I think he has 4 goals in 7 games, something like that.
The Q said Spurs in 8th, just below the playoff line, baby.
but I think Everton has a real shot for making it to Europe this season. I mean, if they can just keep a little bit of consistency, I think there's a real opportunity here.
You're absolutely crazy.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, so you got Brighton. Brighton, who played
that's
really
it.
Well.
I'm crazy. Let's just move it. Yeah. Move it along. Jamie Lawton, thank you for the host.
Thank you for hosting. No, you're absolutely crazy. Everton doesn't have... I don't think you have the depth. You're going to have to spend in January, and it looks like you're going to sell. Primarily Dominic Calvert-Lewin Arsenal. Mm. Which would destroy you guys.
Would you want him? Why would you want him at Arsenal?
He plays hold-up. What are you talking about? He's exactly what you need for Arteta's system.
But you have Lacazette. Lacazette can't do it.
Lacazette's gone after this season.
Okay.
Probably going to be gone in January so we can get some value off of him. Mm. Jamie Long said, yo, I can't wait. I'm going to the Leicester versus Arsenal game. 3-course meal VIP Legends Lounge on the 30th. Let's go.
Let's go, Jamie.
Everybody we know does VIP only, yo.
Exclusively, okay? You can't even be in this chat if you ain't doing the exclusive VIP owner suite experience at every Premier League game. Okay?
Bruh, in fact, we're talking to Twitch about adding the shade that comes down so y'all can't even see what we doing over here. You know what I mean? let's talk about Brighton and Hove Albion. Absolutely incredible. Potter, what a coach. Gruella looked incredible against Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu, welcome to the Premier League. That was a rough one, but look, I'll say this about Arsenal. This is, again, part of the plan, right? The plan was to win 3, Norwich, Burnley, Tottenham, and then let's see what happens from there. I don't like the fact that we kind of slipped back a little bit. But Brighton are incredible. Bissouma wasn't playing, who's probably their best player, one of their best player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just, and he wasn't missed.
Yeah.
The way they press, I mean, Odegaard couldn't get, Aubameyang wasn't pressing with him, which was a little, I hated to see that, but a little disheartening is what I was trying to find there.
You were missing Granit Xhaka, all right? You need him.
But yeah, I do think, I can't believe I'm saying this, we play worse without Granit Xhaka. I'm surprised those words came out of my mouth as well, but him and Partey just kind of understand each other. And the thing about Granit Xhaka is he is good at springing that attack, which, you know, Lokonga is still a kid. He's still learning that part. But, you know, we couldn't string more than 2 passes together before, you know, 6 of their defenders were on top of us. So shouts to Brighton, man. They played really well. And so did Brentford. Brentford, I believe, drew their last match.
Brentford is in 7th place, you know.
Did you know Brentford got rid of their academy?
I did not. What are they?
Five years ago, they got rid of their academy. They only have a B team.
Oh, okay.
Which is impressive. A team full of bees, dude. No, they only
it's
have a
logo. As well.
No, they only have a B team, and that's so they only actually carry 40 players at once across the whole system, versus you know, some academies hundreds of players. You know,
did you watch the Liverpool City game?
I did. What an incredible game!
This was a very entertaining match. I mean, there's obviously two of you know usually the. One and two for the last couple of years in the table, but
also I think that perpetual argument as to who's the better manager, right, Pep or Klopp, and I you still can't answer it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact that City came back and tied that match two times was impressive. Really, I think the turning point of this match was James Milner not getting that second yellow. That was clear, and I don't understand. In what world you don't give that as a yellow card? What was the ref thinking?
I think it's one of those things of like, well, he's already on a yellow, so I'm going to give him one more warning.
Yeah.
And I think that in a situation like that, you could see why Pep is angry.
Yeah.
Because that changes the match.
Yeah.
And it was deserved. You couldn't argue. The only person who could argue against it was the guy who didn't give him a yellow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Jurgen Klopp immediately takes Milner out of the game because he knows the next... He just accidentally...
He sneezes. You're out.
You're out of this game. And for... did they tie the game before Milner left or after Milner left? I think it might have been before. I'm not sure. But... I can look that up. Yeah, the fact
Jamie Long just said, I bought my dad a stadium tour of Wembley for Christmas. I hope he likes it. Hey, we'll go if he doesn't like it.
Okay. Jamie said, if my Leicester lose against Arsenal, I will be drinking beer. All right, well, that's fine.
I suggest doing that even if they win.
Yeah, it seems like the remedy is going to be the same regardless of what the result is.
It's good
is.
Medicine for good or bad days.
Wahzah said they're at 9 wins and 3 draws against each other all time. Masterclass. Oh, Klopp and Pep. Yeah, man, that's pretty impressive.
Milner comes out in the 78th. Kevin De Bruyne equalizes in the 81st.
Ooh, okay, so right after. Look at that. I want to talk about Mohamed Salah's goal. That goal was absolutely beautiful. And so interestingly enough, I'm watching this game in Arizona. I was in Arizona for a wedding in Tucson, and the games are on. That later game, East Coast, is on much earlier because it's on Pacific time. So I'm watching the game, and I'm at the wedding. There's also this guy who's a former player. He played. He's like from North Carolina, but he played in Sweden. So I'm talking to him about the game. So I'm like at this wedding and there's like a soccer guy that is like really into it. And I'm telling him about our show. He's like, this is great. What? You know about the, like, he's like losing his mind. And so he did the thing. And I wanted to talk about this because I had this conversation with him. He was like, oh, I was telling him the Mohamed Salah goal. Oh man, that was incredible. And he goes, yeah, it was good, but like really poor defending. Right. He said he kind of dismissed it. Out of like, oh, the defending was so bad.
A wonder goal.
Which this happens all the time in this sport. Whether this happens a lot with MLS, you see an incredible goal. Oh, but the keeper
was way out of his line. Yeah.
I just want to, you know, reiterate. If you see any goal in soccer or football, somebody made a mistake. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's when you get to score.
Mistakes need to happen so that fun goals can exist. That's how it works. So when yes, there is such a thing as crap defending, but what Manchester City did was not crap defending. They really tried their best to defend. Mohamed Salah is
all
such
of them.
An elite.
All
yeah,
of them tried to
they
stop
all
them.
They all contributed something. And Mohamed Salah said, oh, okay, I see what you're doing, but I really need to get this ball past your homie back there.
Yeah, Mohamed Salah's like, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to be one step ahead of y'all the whole time. Thank you, Jamie Lawton, for subscribing. That's beautiful, baby. Hey, babes, love you guys. Top streamers. I can picture it. Leno thumbing the box. Vardy, it's 11 in heaven for Jamie Vardy now. Come on now. Hopefully Leno doesn't start.
Right, yeah, it'll be Ramsdale, if anything. Enough with this. The defending was bad. Yes, sometimes, like, it makes me think about Jerome Boateng. Remember the goal that Messi scored on him, that he cut him up, completely dropped him to the ground, embarrassed. Is that bad defending from Jerome Boateng? Maybe, but it's not just any dude that he's trying to defend against. It is Lionel Messi putting on the moves, and the sports guy there, I said, broke his ankles. Sometimes ankles get broken, and you got to be like, yo, the goal was better than the poor defending. And that's
also,
an example
people
of that.
Keep forgetting, and well, Hazard said they would absolutely say it was shit defending if it was in MLS. You still have to beat the keeper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could get past all that bad defending and still have to beat the keeper. And he did with grace and with just a wonder strike. That was one of the best goals I'd seen. I remember my wife was talking to me, and she was asking me like a pretty important question. Something about, I don't remember what it was, but it was like about her life or whatever. And I'm kind of listening to her and watching the game out the side of my eye. And as that goal went in, I go, oh, shit. I just went like that. And she goes, you're not paying attention. I'm like, I am, but come on. And she goes, no, actually, I saw that too. That was pretty crazy. I was like, see?
really incredible. I mean, the Liverpool Man City is becoming the new, I mean, it used to be Liverpool Manchester United. That was the historic rivalry.
And I would say that's the new Real Madrid Barcelona.
I would say that too.
Right?
It's kind of getting there. I mean, these are.
It has a super classical kind of feel to it. Like, you got to watch it.
And especially when it comes to, you know, the last like 10, 15 years, maybe even 20, it's usually, especially Champions League, it's usually been Spain being dominant, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, you know, Premier League is now there in the conversation regularly of like who are the real contenders in Champions League. It's a whole other conversation of really what is the hell's going on at Barcelona and what the hell's going on. Even at Real Madrid, it's bad. Everything is bad in Spain.
Nothing's going right in Spain. Did you see? Well, Atletico Madrid probably is the only team having a good time. And did you see what Ronald Koeman said? He's like, you can be mad at me all you want, but this is the best I'm going to be able to get out of these players. You know,
I'm working with the scraps. You know,
guys, why don't you let him in the team bus as opposed to under the team bus, dude? Jesus, well,
there's something that is the conversation is sort of changing because for the last like decade, to be a Barcelona player felt like, I mean, You really had to be at another level to even be considered a player that could be of interest to the club. And now it's like,
do you have low wages? Come on in.
And I'm not saying anything negative about players that are now like, I'm not saying Memphis Depay is not a Barcelona player. That's not what I'm saying, but it's just like what we've been conditioned to accept or believe of who is a Barcelona player has changed a little bit, and I think it's going to affect the style of play, you know, because the worst Barcelona are, you start seeing and somebody probably saw this clip today, Xavi is the manager at a club in Qatar, Saudi Arabia,
I think.
I forgot where. But every time they're like, man, if Barcelona played like this on the, like, it's just, and they're using the example of this Saudi Arabian club as like, we need him back. But even if Xavi becomes manager of Barcelona, can he do any better than Ronald Koeman? Probably a little bit better, but still he's still working with the same roster. Another name that I just saw.
Yeah, but it is Qatar, Al Saad.
Okay.
But did you see the clips of like Al Saad playing?
Yeah, I've seen those.
It's incredible. It's like total football to the, so maybe he can do a better job with this squad.
Maybe, but then another name that I'm hearing of a possible move to Barcelona is Raheem Sterling.
Yeah.
This would be huge. But I don't think this is a good move for Raheem Sterling. He'd be
primarily
going to a terrible team.
So for Raheem Sterling's, for his resume, it would be great because he does, you know, they're kind of saying like they're done with him at City and he does belong in a really great club, right?
Yeah.
But for his career, this would be the career-ending move. Because he'd probably be stuck there for 2 or 3 years, which kind of puts him at, what, 32, right? What is he? How old is
he is
Raheem Sterling?
He's still in his 20s.
I think he's 28. He's 26.
26. He's like, young man.
He's not even at the peak yet. What are we doing?
I'm like, Raheem, don't do it.
Oh, my God. Just to answer, Jamie Lawton asked if we rate Yuri Tielemann. I think he's great. In fact, he's another one that is looking potentially at a move for La Liga, but it's looking like Atletico Madrid or Real Madrid are coming in for Tielemann.
I haven't forgiven him. He scored against Everton a banger last season.
He's an incredible player. I can't believe Raheem Sterling's only 26. He seems like such an old man.
He's been playing a long time already. Yeah.
The rumors are Arsenal, too, so I'm excited if that actually happens.
So I heard that and I'm like, this is just not a good for both parties. I don't think this is a good move. Definitely,
you know what
not,
I feel worse for not, is Memphis Depay.
I feel bad for Sergio Aguero. I mean, whatever. We're witnessing not only a collapse of a good team, like a generationally good team, but also like. I think the collapse of like a brand too. Like it's really bad. How financially everything's been mismanaged. A lot of the things going on in La Liga, but this is like bad. Where it's gonna take like a long time to fix. I don't see Barcelona being good in 2-3 years. I think it's gonna be like pretty bad. I mean, if they miss Champions League, bruh.
Nah, it's over.
And then the calls for like we need a Super League. Tomorrow are going to come back. The poor Barcelona plays.
By the way, everyone's still kind of low-key talking about a Super League. That never really went away. It's like simmering. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, they moved the pot off the flame, but it's still warm.
They're asking, where's Nutmeg? Nutmeg is asleep.
There you go.
See if I can get him on camera a little bit. Do you see him there?
I see a white thing.
That's the AC, but you see that little spot, right?
Yeah. There he is.
He's curled up into a little ball.
Whatchamacallit? I look at where Barcelona is and I start to think of like Arsenal, right when, you know, maybe Wenger stayed on for just a little too long and we started bringing in players like Shamak, no offense, you know, and these players that weren't necessarily at our level, but we kind of needed them to stay in that Champions League, And look at where we are now, finishing eighth two seasons in a row. So if you want to avoid that, Barcelona seems too significant to the Spanish economy, even. Never mind La Liga and all that. They seem too significant to them to let it go down this way. So hopefully they can fix this. But it is kind of fun to see. It's kind of fun to be in the generation where we get to see the collapse, you know?
Okay, we want chaos.
There's a great documentary, actually. Jamie Lund said, I remember when I was watching Barcelona with Ronaldinho. There's a great documentary about the pressure that the fans, the supporters put on that ownership right around the time that Ronaldinho came on. They sent like pipe bombs to this guy's house and stuff. It was really, really interesting the way that a whole thing played out. And then they got Ronaldinho and then... That started
But the offensive part was the strongly worded letter attached to the pipe bomb.
That's
what hurt the guy's feeling.
Dude, there's kids here, all right? I mean, at least the pipe bomb.
You're taking it too far.
But I remember that, and I think like it's probably going to come back to that. Like, those fans are still there. You know what I mean?
Board Martin said, Barca doesn't have a bad squad, just a horrific coach. I mean, that's being very generous. I know firsthand he was the Everton manager as well. Ronald Koeman is not helping the situation. So they got a long way to go to turn things around. Okay.
Glenster asked, do you think Barca will do a Leeds? Which I'm assuming means stay in the lower levels for a couple of years.
Jamie Lawton said Koeman was good at Southampton. He can't handle the pressure at Barca. Way too big a club. Too big of a name for him to handle. He's a former player. He is kind of beloved at but now things are Jorge ATX said, yeah, Koeman won't last the month. We'll see.
You know
what
when Koeman goes? When Iniesta agrees to come on. He needs to pull a Zidane. He needs to come back to his club.
Iniesta's still playing in Japan though.
I mean, oh, you mean Xavi.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Iniesta is not.
Also, Iniesta, come help.
Iniesta needs. Yeah, it needs to get out of there. Okay, everybody, thank you again for joining us for another Prem Show. We seriously appreciate it. Make sure you give us a follow wherever you want to follow us on Instagram whenever it's working. Follow us, Instagram at Soccer Cooligans right there on Instagram. We're almost at 25,000 followers.
Close.
We're so close. Don't you
want
to
hit it and fall back?
We did not. No. We're okay. We're pretty close. I think we're like maybe like 50 followers away. So help us get there.
Oh, Ranieri said, did you see? Jamie Lawton said, did you see that Ranieri signed for Watford?
Oh, I didn't see that. Yes, Claudio Ranieri signed for Watford. They're having a rough start, but that's what happens when you get rid of Troy Deeney.
You know,
what you
can do. You don't have the cojones to keep him.
That's right. It's the heart of the club. Yes. And a reminder, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/soccercooligans. A bunch of the videos from France will be there. And stuff we did in England. And
exclusive stuff on our channel. No one else is going to air. It doesn't air on TV.
Yeah. So
just for us.
And subscribe to the Football Sports YouTube channel as well. That's where the clips from and interviews from the TV show live. We just interviewed Richie Ledesma. Gilbert Arenas also was just on the show, NBA legend. We talked to him about the guns that he brought to the locker room. it was a really, really fun conversation. So please check that out. You can watch it on YouTube. You can listen to the Cooligans podcast. You can listen to all these interviews if you prefer to do it that way. But that's it, man. A lot of fun stuff in the pipeline. Coming through. Yeah. Also, CONMEBOL, the World Cup qualifiers in South America. Will be, there's a triple match day. It starts on Thursday. Those will be exclusively on Fubo TV. You can catch us doing little hits on some of these shows. We're around, and yeah, so Fubo TV is the home of all that stuff and great games. Hopefully we'll get to do some more goal calls
That'd be dope.
after those match days. Okay.
And Glenster says, when are we going to have Amin on again? Yeah, we got to have him on again.
Yeah. He's been on twice so far, right?
No, just the once.
Once?
Yeah.
Why do I think it was twice? Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway. All right, everybody. Y'all the absolute best. Thank you so much. Put exclamation point outro so you see how we end this show. Anything else we want to add, Alexis?
Nah, flood that chat with exclamation point outro. Let them know how we end this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was about to wrap up. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, everybody on Twitch. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We appreciate you. We'll be back next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Come through. If you only listen to the audio, join us. It's always a lot of fun. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!